How's everybody doing today? Good, good. The text we're reading was talking about going home to your friends and telling them what? You know what that text was about? Who was it written to? I know you guys pay attention to the scripture reading. It was written about the demoniacs. That's right. The demoniacs, they wanted to go with Jesus, and he said, no, go home to your family and tell them, give them a testimony about what I've done for you. And I was thinking about that. You know, there's a lot of good counsel we have, and I've been accused of not reading enough spiritual prophecy. Preaching from the Bible too much? Is that a bad accusation? So I'm going to read from the Spirit of Prophecy today, okay? But I think this is appropriate. Now, I had one person who got upset because he said you should be reading from the Spirit of Prophecy every week. And I said, I think we should probably be reading from the Bible every week. That's what the Spirit of Prophecy says. Anyways, I was looking some stuff up, and I found, and this is in Seven Testimonies, it says, there are times when it is fitting for our ministers to give on the Sabbath in our churches short discourses. Well, I don't qualify there, mine are not short, but full of the life and love of Christ. But the church members are not to expect a sermon every Sabbath. Now, I remember reading this one time before, but I think we need to review this. So you're not to expect a sermon every Sabbath, okay? Let us remember that we are pilgrims and strangers on this earth, seeking a better country, even a heavenly. Let us work with such earnestness, such devotion, that sinners will be drawn to Christ. Those who have united with the Lord in the covenant of service are under bonds to unite with him in the great, grand work of soul saving. So we are to be soul savers. Okay? Let church members during the week act their part faithfully and on the Sabbath relate their experience. The meeting will then be as meat in due season, bringing to all present new life and fresh vigor. In other words, we're supposed to be during the week, we're supposed to be out telling everybody we can find about Jesus. And then when we come back to church, we're not to expect a sermon every week, but we're to have a time for testimonies, for people to come up and say, God has blessed me. He's opened the doors. He's moved on my neighbors. He's moved on my family. Let me tell you how great things God has done for me. And so that's what we're supposed to be doing. It says, the meeting will then be as meat in due season, bringing to all present new life and fresh vigor. When God's people see the great need of working as Christ worked for the conversion of sinners, the testimonies borne by them in the Sabbath service will be filled with power. I like that. With joy, they will tell of the precious experiences they have gained in working for others. And so that's what we're going to do today. We're going to have a time so you can tell about how God has worked in your life or God has worked in somebody else's life through you. And I'm not requiring that you have to do it only for this week. Okay? It might have been this last month. Or I'll even give you a year or two. No, I'm saying it really doesn't matter when your story is. But the more recent, the better it is for us because we want to keep busy reaching people for Christ. You know, my wife harasses me, not often. She says, you're telling all those stories from 25 years ago. You need to have some new stories from like yesterday. So that's why God sent us wives. They're such a blessing. Keep us on our toes. No, I love my wife. She's a great blessing to me. She's a great blessing to me. And she's got an opinion. I wouldn't have a wife without an opinion. And she speaks it, and that's what I want. You know, God sends us these blessings. Men, think about this. It's important to have somebody to give you some feedback. Anyways, I think the ladies might need feedback too, so guys are important too. They even say things, don't they? So, okay, we're not here to talk about family relations, but we are here to talk about how God has worked in our lives. And I was going to start, and I'm going to give you guys an opportunity to tell your experiences, but I had an interesting experience. I've been on jury duty. How many have been on jury duty? Okay. I'm on the grand jury. I don't know if that's more grand than regular jury, but it's what it is. I got 3 months of it. I think I mentioned this the other week, but I have two people there. Actually, I have more than two people there. They all know me as Pastor Dean, which is kind of interesting. You know, I think many of them are Christians, but none of them are Adventists. And so this last week, there's the, I'm forgetting his name, but he's the big guy in the corner with the white beard. He came with a shirt on that said State Line Adventist School. And he said, I went to Adventist school when I was, he's probably like 65. And he's still got this shirt. He says, well, I'm not an Adventist. But he's witnessing for the school. Can non-Adventists witness for Adventists? Can non-Christians witness for Christ? I was just thinking, this is a long time ago story, sorry, but I was thinking of Karen's mom, who I love her to death, but she doesn't believe in Christianity. Not yet. I see more, we see more hope, okay? But she's kind of an interesting situation. We gave her a great controversy. What was it, for Christmas or something? I forgot. She read it through. This is like, what, 20 years ago? Maybe more. She read it through, and she's kind of an artsy girl. She likes art. She's a potter, actually, and a painter and other stuff like that. So she had her art group that she got together with. All these ladies she'd get together with, and she'd go out to eat with them. And they're all Christians, and she's the only one that's not a Christian. And she says to all of them, after reading The Great Controversy, she says, well, why aren't you all following the Bible? Non-Adventist, non-Christian. Okay, she kind of rejected Christianity as a kid. And she says, I'm not a Christian. I don't care if I follow the Bible, but if you guys call yourselves Christians, you should be going to church on the right day. So she's telling them all which day to go to church, and she's a total, well, not a total heathen, but she's a non-Christian. So I was just thinking about that. Can God witness through non-Christians, non-Adventists? Can he witness through Adventists too? And they were all kind of saying, we never heard anything like this. What are you talking about? So they're, got her thinking. You know, that I think it's important for us to think about being willing to speak up, because we're fearful. I don't like to have people think I'm a Jesus freak. But you know, if you speak up for Christ, you will be surprised at how many people are out there that are really searching. And they say, if I had known you were a Christian 10 years ago, I would have asked you all sorts of questions 10 years ago. But I didn't even know you were a Christian because you never spoke up. So we should be surprised how many people out there are open and interested in Christianity. So I'm going to give you guys an opportunity. I could talk. You guys know that. But I want you guys to have an opportunity to tell about how God has blessed you. This one's working. True? I hear it. Okay. Who would like to tell how God has blessed you this week? God has used you. Now, when you stand up here, don't point it towards the speaker.
Well. Why not?
You can point it towards me.
Well, you said not to point it towards the speaker.
That's anyway, right.
So, how many people know me? You can raise your hands. No, now to raise your hands. If you really know me, do you really know me? Does anybody really know me? I got four over here that think they really know me. Okay, so how many siblings do I have? Does anybody know? No hands except one. So you really don't know me. Don't know where I came from, right? Who would guess that I have seven sisters and no brothers? I'm the only one out of eight, only boy out of eight.
Now we understand.
I'm the only boy out of eight. How's that? Is that better?
Now we know what the problem is.
Now you know what the problem is. Well, I wasn't raised in a Christian home. I attended a Mormon church when I was very young, probably more out of the consideration of help, because there was 10 of us. It's very hard for, even in the 60s, for a man to support a family of 10. But my dad did a very good job of it. Except my dad smoked cigarettes. How many people have ever smoked cigarettes? There's a few hands. You all know how hard it is to quit? Well, I was in our house. You could start smoking in front of the parents at 13. So I did. I started smoking when I was actually 12. Sorry, I started smoking when I was 12 years old.
What? We can't hear you.
Oh, yeah, they can hear me now. You just can't. Stand in front of the speakers.
Yes, sir.
Anyway, so I started smoking when I was 12, and I was able to smoke in front of my parents when I was 13. That's really, you don't see that today a lot. Some families you might, but not in a church. So I smoked until I was 30. So I smoked 17 years, 18 years. And I never knew the Lord until my wife introduced me to him in the 90s, 93, I think, 92. Yeah, 90, yeah. So anyway, that's when I was baptized, was 1990, wasn't it? 1990. And I was still smoking at the time. And I couldn't quit. I tried everything. I tried acupuncture. I tried throwing it away. I tried the nicotine patch. I tried prayer a lot more than I tried everything else. And I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. But the Lord says, through me, all things are possible.
Amen. Amen.
So on my birthday, on my 30th birthday, I was so tired of lying to my wife, telling her I quit. She could smell it. She knew I didn't quit. So I told the Lord, if you don't want me to do this, you got to take it away, because I can't do it. And so I threw him in the garbage. The next morning.
I give you a hug.
The next morning, it was like I had never had a cigarette in my life.
Amen.
It was gone. I never reached in my pocket for another one. It just made me physically sick to be around people. So,
God changed your taste buds.
All things are possible, trust me.
Amen.
I've been there. And that's the hardest one to give up.
Yeah.
I haven't had another one since. It's been 28 years since I've had a cigarette. So, all things are possible. You just have to have faith.
Amen. That made my day. Thank you. Yep, I had a similar experience with smoking. You get to the point where you try everything, and then you finally get on your knees in tears, and then God does it for you. Why did I wait so long? Amen. Amen. Anybody else?
Yes, you know, I wasn't planning to make any personal testimony this morning, but we want to praise the Lord, and so if there's a little lag, I'll ask the Lord to give me something to praise him with. I met a young man last Sabbath right here. I don't recall having met him before. His name is Aaron, and he came in with a young man that was a little bit older, not much, 24 verses 16. But I don't see Aaron today, and my thought was, and I'd share this with Pastor Dean, that if Aaron came today, we would do a little interview in front. So I don't have his last name. He's 16. He is a sophomore, will be a junior next year, but I was just amazed at our conversation. So the main thing is that I have an eye and heart for people who are visiting, who I don't know. And I want to, in an appropriate, non-threatening way, to introduce myself and get into a conversation. Does somebody know Aaron, by the way? Raise your hand if you know Aaron. Anybody know Aaron? Yeah, wow. Aaron, yeah. Yes.
Yep.
Yes,
yeah.
Okay.
I met them.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
Oftentimes you see young people, you think, well, they're here, and they're probably associated with the church. They've got some family, some parents or whatever, with the church. as I visit with Aaron, his older friend, 24-year-old, I forget his name, the older. He had a little longer hair, dark hair. He's more Hispanic. Aaron lighter. But anyway, wow. So Aaron really comes from a Catholic family. And I thought it was just amazing that he was here. I think he's been here maybe once or twice before over the last 2-3 years. But I think he mentioned 2 years. So someone has a friendly connection that brought him to this church, not only this past Sabbath, but maybe a couple of years ago. So he's in the public school. He's right here in Heron, in Hermiston. And as it was, so I asked him about his school, and I asked him, how are you doing with, I could look at him and see that he seems to be uncomplicated, intelligent, uncomplicated, transparent, and communicative. So these are the things that give you signals that you can ask more direct personal questions and so forth. So I asked him how he was managing being in a school system where there's lots of crazy stuff going on, okay? 10th grader, anybody remember? Unfortunately. But, he is staying above the fray. He's not. He says, I ask, aren't there guys that are trying to pull you into things that are forbidden? The forbidden areas, in a way you're thinking and doing and so forth. And he says, yes, but, and it's amazing. He said something that I would love to hear from more of us. He looked up to the ceiling here, and he said, "I love my Heavenly Father." And he had a warmth in his, a sparkle in his eye. Amazing. So here's a young man that has a sense of God's presence, and he says, "I want to know Him better. I want to know Him better." Wow, for a 16-year-old to be in his life situation. And to have that in his heart and mind and thinking, that is just remarkable. That is a person I will pray for, I will engage with, I will invest in material ways if necessary. But anyway, so we want to keep Aaron in our prayers. I'm trying to think of something else he might have said. Those are the main things. But anyway, he's listening for the voice of God. And I think of that text in Jeremiah 29. What is it, Billie Jean? Could you? Oh, here we are.
"For I know the thoughts I think toward you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end."
To give us an expected end. The saints are, the redeemed are not going to be shocked when they find themselves standing on the sea of glass, wondering, why am I here? How did this happen? No, the redeemed will have a testimony of having had having given themselves to the Lord Jesus Christ, and their hearts, their lives, their service to Him, body, mind, and spirit. And so when they get to heaven, yes, there are going to be all kinds of beautiful, powerful surprises. "Eye hath not seen nor ear heard the things that God has prepared for us." But the redeemed will have an expected end. As amazing as it's going to be with all those surprises, they won't be in shock or dismay about where they are or what this is all about. The Lord's going to save those who want Him, who love Him, and who want to, in fact, give themselves wholly to Him. And so I'm looking at our young people in the back. There we are. Genesis and Amy, you're among our young people. God bless you. and let him lead you, okay? Thank you.
Okay. Can people accept Jesus when they're young? Amen. That's the best time. You don't want to wait until you're old and I don't know if I should say the next part. Old and broken, there's a nicer way to put it. Yes, I have my history behind me, so I was thinking old and, well, I won't mention the word. But you know, the truth is, we need to accept Jesus when we're young, and that God can use our lives all the way through to reach people. I know people who accept Jesus on their deathbed, but it's a lot better to do it earlier. You don't have to live a miserable life for all of your years. You can enjoy the peace and joy of Christ. So I was thinking of Jess's testimony about smoking, and I'd only saw, what, 3 or 4 hands go up that have smoked? Smoking is tougher to quit than cocaine. Most people don't realize that. But with God's help, all things are possible. All things are possible. And God, you know, we were over at Ken's house last night, Ken Shrin, and we were talking about how God wants to clean us up, wants to make us a people for him for the last days. And it takes, I think, what Jess probably went through, getting on your knees and really shedding some tears and saying, Lord, I need your help. I cannot do this without your help. Whatever issue we are struggling with. And God can help you. As a matter of fact, God will help you. Sometimes God waits until we're ready to have him do it completely. You know, I remember I said, well, okay, God, you can help me quit, but I'll do it myself. Doesn't work that way. He's waiting for us to be totally broken before he says, are you ready for me to help now? And that's when he can do miracles. But, you know, sometimes we pray, Lord, please help, and then we say, okay, out of the way, I'm going to do it. We have good intentions. I'm going to do it for you. But it doesn't work until we're broken, until we realize we are helpless. And that's when God comes in and works great miracles like he did in Jess's life. Did the same thing in my life. I couldn't quit. Smoking cigarette butts out of ashtrays. And I finally got to the end of my rope, of my smoke. And that's when God came through. And the same thing happened. It was like, they tasted horrible. I don't know what happened. God changed my taste buds. Same thing. God can change taste buds. So if it's cigarettes, if you're a food addict, if you're a whatever kind of addict, we live in a world of addicts. Everybody's addicted to one thing or another. God can help you. God can help you. Who else would like to go? Anybody else? Come on up. I was going to say, don't be shy, but to get up front, you can't be shy, so.
I'm Cynthia Graham, and I went to Harris Junior Academy in Pendleton. So I'm not too far from you guys. I'm now living in Tri-Cities. This happened, we went over to Prosser Church, and I was giving a testimony about a gentleman that I went and witnessed to. I asked God to lead my feet while I go give tracts out every Sabbath.
Amen.
And he worked in the Quickie Lube over in Goldendale, Washington. And he was like so interested in these tracks, and I was giving it to him. And one day his wife was there, and she goes, will you stop giving us these tracks? We are Baptist. I am not going to go and become an Adventist. I walked out of there crying. I was like, I was reaching his heart. And I said, Lord, okay, that door's closed. But one Sabbath afternoon before I moved back up into Montana and then back to Bonnes Ferry, Idaho, the Lord, I was wanting to give out the Great Controversy. And the Lord says, go give him the Great Controversy. I said, "But Lord, his wife said no." Again I heard, "Go give him the great controversy." So I went and gave it to him. He hid it from her. He read it. And right before I moved, I went to him and he says, "You have the truth. This message is the truth of the Lord our God." And I said, "Yes, it is." He goes, "Don't worry. I will share it later to my wife." Well, anyway, so that was a miracle. So I was giving this to the testimony on Sabbath school at Prosser. And this evangelistic group of singers came, and then they gave their story. Well, they had a whole bunch of steps to Christ. And I asked them, "Can I have this box of steps to Christ?" I go, "I will use it." He took half, I took half. And so I was like out giving took my garbage out, and I looked and this lady, they were moving, and I was like talking to her, and I was like, "I got something for you," because she gave me a tank top that she didn't want to wear anymore. So I said, "I got something for you." So I went in and got a Steps to Christ, and she goes, "Are you Mormon?" I go, "No." "Are you a Jehovah Witness?" I go, "No." I go, "I'm Seventh-day Adventist." And she goes, "I'm Catholic. We are not supposed to get literature from other people." I opened it up and I said, "This has Bible verses." I says, "If you want to read," because she had cancer. She was fighting cancer. And I said, "Do you want to read, because you're suffering mentally anguish?" She said she was so angry at God that she had cancer. I said, "This will help you. It's got Bible verses in it." I showed her. And she goes, "I shouldn't have been so rude. I will take it. I will read it." And they moved away. So I'm praying that the Lord will open her heart to read the Steps to Christ.
Amen. Amen. See that? I like testimony time. How many like testimony time? I think it's a blessing.
I like testimony time too, but I usually am not one that stands up. And if I would have been asked a week ago, I probably would have said no, because it would have made me nervous just thinking about it, but I guess I am more spontaneous. But I just wanted to share. I know I got in on the end of Sabbath school when I came to sit at the piano. I heard, I think it was Carlene, talking about our burdens for our children. And my children are all grown. They're adults. And I have prayed, you know, every day for my children. And several of you have asked me to pray for your children as well. And I want to just share with you a miracle that I feel like God has shown in one of my children's life all these years that I pray. And I just want to encourage all of us to just continue praying for our children and our friends' children, and that God does want them in the kingdom and want to be real in their life. My daughter, Trisha, who's named after me, lives in Alaska, and she and her husband, Cam Libby, made a decision about a year ago, probably a little over a year ago, that they really wanted their kids back in Adventist schools. And they had prayed about it, and they had their kids in a very expensive Christian school. But as they prayed about it and talked between themselves, they felt like they needed to make that commitment then, even though the kids were in fifth and sixth grade at the time. And so they started praying about it. And of course, the family, my son-in-law's family, is all from Anchorage, and I think they appreciated the fact that they wanted the kids in Adventist schools, but they did not want them to leave Anchorage, of course. But they continued, Tricia and Cam continued to pray about it. And God just, I'm telling you, has had more miracles happen in their lives to show them that now is the time to move. And once they made that decision, they went to Spokane and went to the Palisades Adventist School. My niece is teaching there right now. That happens to be the school that I went 10 years to when I was a little girl. It's a wonderful Christian Adventist Christian school. Anyway, they spent a day at that school and, of course, were very, very pleased. And knowing that the academy is just 18 miles out of Spokane, so they made that commitment to move. They needed to sell their house. And, you know, it's all these things have to fit together, the timing and everything. And I wish I could share everything, but the first people that saw their house bought it. And, of course, they put it on the market thinking that it probably wasn't going to sell for a while. But the first people that saw it bought it for what they asked for it. And I asked my daughter, I said, are you sure you asked enough? Maybe you gave it away. And she said, Mom, the realtor told us that we were asking the top dollar for that square footage. So she said, I know that God, you know, just brought that family and we got what the, you know, the house was worth. Some of their best friends that have a condominium in Gerwood, which is about a 40-minute beautiful drive from Anchorage, offered them to stay in their condominium after they sold their house because it was going to be about 2 months before they moved. There was another answered prayer. They didn't know whether, you know, what they were going to do for that 2 months because they sold almost all of their furniture, you know, when they sold their house. God opened that door, just, you know, I brought these wonderful friends that, you know, were so generous with them. And again, it's a 40-minute beautiful drive along the ocean, mountains on both, I mean, on the one side, and every day going into Anchorage to work, taking the kids to school, they have this beauty that they just enjoy so much. And, you know, I was worried about, wow, you're going to quit your jobs and move, having no jobs. I mean, they had more faith than I did, but I was on my knees praying for them. Tricia went to Spokane and had an interview and got hired right away from Providence Hospital. She had worked for Providence in Anchorage for 13 years and got hired, and the starting date is right when they're going to move to Spokane in June. And just thing after thing has happened that God, there's no doubt in their minds, and of course mine, that God has answered so many prayers on their behalf. And as they were praying, they were saying, we want our kids to be Seventh-day Adventists when they grow up. And you know, they have a lot better chance being in an Adventist Christian school and going to church. And so I want to say thank you for praying for my kids. And I want to continue praying for yours. I have 4 kids that I pray for every day. But I just had to share that God really does hear our prayers. And sometimes it may not be in our lifetime, but I praise the Lord that it was in my lifetime that I can see him working in behalf of my children.
Amen. Amen. So prayer works, even when we doubt, huh? God still comes through. I like that. So, you know, there's a lot of opportunities for us to pray for our own kids. Anybody have kids that need prayer? Anybody have kids? They all need prayer. And there's other kids of other families that need prayer. But God comes through. You know, sometimes we don't think he's working or we don't see him working. And he's working behind the scenes. Kind of like Daniel. Daniel, you know, the angel Gabriel was saying, well, I've been working with this king and that king and this king, trying to work all the details out. And that's how it works for us. So don't give up praying for your kids. We pray for our kids. They're not as perfect as we'd like them to be. Anybody have kids like that? We have time for one more. Come on up.
I don't see Patty. They're gone. I don't hear very good, and I don't listen very good, and my mind is wandering all over the place, but I heard them talking the other night. I have a great-granddaughter. I don't know how old she is. 10, man, I don't know. I don't pay attention much. Anyway, she asked her parents if she should be baptized because of Rhonda and something. Now, I didn't hear the rest of it, but that's why I wish Patty was here. But anyway, pray for her.
And we should talk about Rhonda a little bit. Rhonda, we went to visit her a number of times. And I asked her, I don't know if I mentioned this. I mentioned this somewhere. I don't know if it was here. But I said to Rhonda, I said, do you believe that if Jesus came tonight, you'd be ready? She says, I've not been good enough. And I said, Rhonda, I said, so you believe you're not good enough to go to heaven? She says, I don't think I'll make it. This is when she was, you know, still doing relatively well. What do you tell somebody like that? I said, Rhonda, I'm not good enough to make it either. Either we're both not going to make it, or God's going to have to give us enough grace for both of us to make it. And I said, the truth is, the Bible says that the only people who get to go are those who are not good enough. Because we get to go by grace. Is that free? Free grace? Anybody like free grace? You know, if it wasn't free, I don't know why we've been meeting here, because none of us would get to go. And so I said, Rhonda, you don't get to go because you're good enough. You get to go because God's word says he's taking you anyways. And she was in tears. She says, do you think he'd take me? I said, yes, he would. God will take anybody who believes. Now, of course, if you have an opportunity, when you believe, you know, we always talk about after you believe, you have to walk in, you know, and be changed, that's great. But the challenge is just starting to believe that God takes people who are unworthy. And I said, Rhonda, you're in the right spot. If you thought you were good enough to go, I'd be concerned. And I came back to visit again. I said, Rhonda, you're good enough. You're not good enough to go, right? She says, yep. I kind of drilled that in. I thought, if I was on my deathbed, I would want to remember that no matter what I have done, Jesus is coming for me when that day comes. And I remember visiting. I got to the house 20 minutes before Rhonda passed. Well, 20 minutes after Rhonda passed. And Ron was reading a letter to her. He was saying that she was just listening, and all of a sudden she just stopped breathing. And I came into the room and he said, look, there's a smile on her face. Death is not a scary thing when we have Jesus. That's a blessing. I mean, it's not a blessing, but it is a blessing. Because the next thing Rhonda is going to see is the angels taking her up. Right, Ron?
Amen.
Amen. And she wants all of us to be there. She would be disappointed if any of us were missing. This is the blessing we have. You know something? Sometimes people say, well, I don't need Christianity. I don't know. I got to do this. I got to do that. I don't need Christianity. But the real blessing we have in Christianity is that Jesus comes to save sinners, of whom we are chief. And we get to go, not because we're good enough. We get to go because Jesus loves to take sinners and lift them up. And that's what he does with each one of us. So if you feel like Rhonda, hopefully none of you are on your deathbed, but if you feel like Rhonda, I'm not good enough, be thankful. That's the first requirement to go, that you're not good enough. You know the story of the publican and the Pharisee? The publican says, "Woe is me," stood outside the church, beat on his chest, and said, "Be merciful to me, a horrible sinner." And Jesus says, "This is the guy that got justified, not the other." So with that, I could go on. We can go on and have more testimonies, but it's probably about time to close. So let's close with prayer. Lord, we just thank you for your word. Help us to believe your word. Even though, Lord, sometimes we don't believe it, help us to remember the man that said, "Help my unbelief," and that you still came through and healed his son, even though his faith was smaller than a mustard seed. Help us to remember it's not that we are faithful or that we have enough belief, but it's you are faithful to us and that you lift us up and that you come in spite of our lack, in spite of our unworthiness. You come and you have died for each one of us and you offer it to us free of charge. We just thank you for your grace. Lord, not only give us your grace, but also give us power in our lives. We're talking about Jess and how God worked in his life, gave him a new life in the area of smoking and continues to work in all of our lives. I just pray, Lord, that you would not only give us that assurance that when you come, we know we can be there, but also give us power to walk as you walked and reach as many people as possible. We thank you for these stories. There are a lot of people out there just waiting for somebody to come with the great controversy or with the steps to Christ or just with a prayer. May we be your people. May we be those people who you send out. And we thank you. May there be thousands of people in your kingdom because you are able to use us, is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.